Good morning and welcome to our service. We're very pleased with the support and encouragement of our interim moderator, Anne Bowie. We're now able to start broadcasting our own services again this week. We expect to carry on with this until such time as we're able to meet again in the church for worship. Our thanks also to Christine McWhirter, who'll be giving today's message. Christine is currently training to be a minister in the Church of Scotland, and she generously agreed to assist us in our services today and next Sunday. Some of you will, I'm sure, remember that Christine visited us once or twice when Isabel Buchan was our interim moderator and took part in services with her. After the service, why not get yourself a cup of tea or coffee and join us for the lockdown chat? Contact details for this will be on the screen at the end of the service. Next Sunday, we're planning to have another online Connect via Zoom. As we usually do, we'll meet for Connect before the 11 o'clock service. We'll be open from 9:45. For those planning to join us for Connect, could you please have a Bible, pencil and pen and paper handy, and also, wait for it, a tangerine and a glass of water large enough to put the tangerine into. I have no idea what the purpose of this is, but I'm assured all will be revealed at Connect. At the end of June, we normally have a moving on service where we recognise and celebrate with our young people as they move from one stage to the next of education or beyond. There will be a moving on aspect to next week's Connect. Finally, two things to remember each Wednesday. You'll recall that at the start of our vacancy, we agreed that we'd all take a couple of minutes each Wednesday at 1 o'clock to pray for the future of our church. With our vacancy now very much alive again, with a lot of uncertainty ahead, and with important decisions to be made about our future, it's as important as ever that we take time to ask God to show us the way ahead. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek chat at 7:30 in the evening, and we hope many of you will join us for this. Access details for the midweek chat and for Connect will be emailed to members beforehand.
Good morning to you all and welcome to the online worship for St Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart. My name is Christine and I'm delighted to be sharing with you all in the worship of God, our Rock, Redeemer and Heavenly Father today, as we are gathered in many different places. In God we are one. I hope this week you have enjoyed the love, grace and many blessings God has given and been able to cope with any difficulties you may have experienced as God walks with us. We are called to worship God. Come into the space of truth. Come into the space where all are loved and valued. Come gather together as confident, beloved people. Come gather before God, creator and protector of us all. Our first hymn today is from CH4 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true. Where all God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall shall stand as witness and a symbol of God's grace. He that won, we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine, and wheat. A banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Hear the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that frees us, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Heal the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the world. Built of tears and cries of laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Today is a special Sunday for many of us, as in many parts of the world we are celebrating. I wonder if you know what it is that many people are celebrating today. Here are some pictures to help us think about what this special Sunday is all about. Let's see if you can see what is in each of the pictures.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father,
color him father.
I think I'll color him love,
color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father,
color him father.
I think I'll color the man love, yes I will,
color him father.
What we saw there was all about fathers. A set of father and son shoes, a dad changing a dirty nappy, dad is sleeping socks, a bank or credit card for dad, a dad and daughter dressed for Halloween as minions, a dad and child building sandcastles, dad as a chef, and dad and baby sound asleep. These are useful to think about today as it is Father's Day, a day when we can think about our dads or the father figures in our lives and those around the world. Later in our service, we're going to hear the story of one father who was in desperate need for help, who approached Jesus for healing and guidance. Now let's take the time to talk to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and truth, we give thanks for life in all its fullness. Not an easy life, but a life full of support and encouragement to face and deal with difficulties and challenges. Not a pain-free life, but a life full of love and care to comfort in suffering. Not a life of luxury, but a life with enough to sustain us. not a life of possession, but a life full of wonder to delight in each day. Not a driven life, but a life freely given and free to receive. Not a life without meaning, but a life of being needed and not taken for granted. Not a quiet life, but a life full of passion for justice and joy. For fullness of life, we give thanks. Lord God, as we offer our thanksgiving for ourselves, we pray for all people, made in your image, to know life in all its fullness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in peace in your name. We rejoice that we can know you in Jesus Christ. Stumbling blocks become stepping stones. Lord God, you are the source of all life, all blessings, grace, and forgiveness. You have given us a wonderful world that we should look after. Accept our humble thanks and praise for our families, church family, friends, and colleagues. They share our burdens and celebrate our success. Be the thoughts in our minds, O Lord, and fill our hearts with love that will overflow. Remind us, Lord, not to keep your love to ourselves. You came to search for us in the frailty of human life. Be with us in every experience of life. We dedicate our thoughts to you, our words, our gifts, and our deeds. Forgive our failings, Lord, and teach us once again to love and respect each other, not only for our neighbours within reach, but those around the world. Take our hatred, intolerance, and distrust and open our minds, Lord. Renew in us kindness, patience, understanding, and your Holy Spirit. God of mercy and of love, in humbleness of heart we confess to you our sins. Through Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive us. When we neglect you, remind us of your presence. When we are frightened, give us courage. When we are tempted, give us power to resist. When we are anxious and worried, give us peace. When we are weary in service, give us energy and zeal. Now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. The reading is about two healings which Jesus performed, one about the daughter of a man called Jairus. The reading can also be found in Luke and Matthew's Gospel. From Mark's Gospel, Andy Savory will read for us this morning.
Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, wherever we are gathered today, we come in your name. May the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. If we have a father or a father figure in our lives, we can think about them in different ways throughout our lifetime. Does any of the following sound familiar? At age 4 years, my daddy can do anything. Aged 8, dad doesn't know. Aged 12, oh well, father naturally doesn't understand. Aged 14, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. Aged 21, oh, that man is out of date. What would you expect? Aged 25, I might ask dad. He comes up with a good idea now and then. Aged 30, must find out what dad thinks about that. Age 50. Let's have a little patience. Let's get dad's input first. Age 60. What would dad have thought about that? Age 75. I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. There are many fathers mentioned in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, David, Eli, Samuel, Jairus, Joseph, to name but a few. In our reading today, we are given a glimpse into the life of a father, Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue ruler and would be viewed, and as an equivalent to us, like an elder or deacon of the synagogue. In fact, he was the head deacon or elder. And it was his duty to select the readers or teachers in the synagogue, to monitor the public speakers, and to see that all things were done with decency and in accordance with the law. Jairus was a man of considerable power, authority, and influence. It's an important part of the story to think about that Jairus did have all that power and influence. But despite having that power and influence, he had a very sad and serious problem. His daughter was very seriously ill. In fact, she was dying. I can only imagine how a dad, or indeed any parent, feels when they see their child hurting. Even scraping their knee falling to the ground can be a pain in the heart. So the pain of when a child is so ill they are dying is unimaginable. We need to remember that many of the religious rulers at the time clashed quite significantly with Jesus and his teachings. Many of the religious leaders spent a good deal of their time trying to catch Jesus out on matters of the religious and general law. Bearing this in mind, most of the religious leaders did not want to go near Jesus except to test him. We also need to remember that in Jesus' day, women were very much second-class citizens and often were of little value to their fathers, brothers, or other male members of their family. So Jairus is faced with something of a dilemma. He has considerable standing in the community, yet his daughter is seriously ill, and all that power, influence, and standing in the world cannot equal her being healed. What is he going to do? Mark tells us Jesus was at the side of a lake and amongst a large crowd of people when Jairus approached him. It's very important to consider that Jairus went himself to see Jesus. Jairus was a leader, so it's likely he had servants or could have sent a messenger to find Jesus and ask for Jesus' help. We don't know if the thought to send someone else crossed Jairus' mind, considering Jairus could have faced a lot of criticism for even approaching Jesus, let alone asking for help. It is not unreasonable to think Jairus could have considered sending someone else. But Jairus didn't. Jairus was a father, and despite the customs of the time against females, he showed limitless fatherly love by going direct to Jesus himself. Jairus didn't send a messenger or a servant to do what he needed to do as a father. Let us not forget Jesus is not in a quiet back room or walking along a deserted road when Jairus approached him. There is a large crowd around, so there are plenty of people around to overhear and see in full view what Jairus does. What do we think Jairus was feeling when he approached Jesus? Perhaps a mixture of emotions. It's very possible he was tired, exhausted even, extremely worried for his daughter, scared of the crowd, scared Jesus would tell him no. His heart might have been racing. He might have been sweating, adrenaline pumping, feeling a glimmer of hope on seeing Jesus. There are several ways Jairus could have approached talking to Jesus. He could have put his power and influence first and tried to command Jesus to do what he wanted. It is likely Jairus had some money to spare, so he could have tried to pay for Jesus' services. But Jairus didn't go for either of those. When he saw Jesus, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet in full view of the crowd and pleaded. Jairus was at Jesus' feet and he pleaded. Jairus laid aside his position of prestige and the possibility he could lose a lot in his professional life, and he put his daughter first. Jairus may have realised that Jesus had something about him that no one else had. It is possible that Jairus did not know that Jesus was the Messiah, as was the case for most Jews at the time. As Jairus is on the ground, he pleads with Jesus, and does so quite directly. He does not beat about the bush, he simply says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her, so she will be healed and live." It was a desperate cry for help, which Jesus heard, even amongst the roar and commotion of the crowd. How often do people come to Jesus in prayer, but never really ask for what they are really looking for? I have certainly done that. Sometimes the problem is I'm not always sure what it is I'm really asking for. Other times I struggle to find the words. We are encouraged in God's word to make our requests known unto the Lord, and that is exactly what Jairus was doing. So we are told that Jesus went with Jairus. Jesus heard Jesus pleading and went with him. Jairus hears every time when there is a cry for help. It doesn't matter what language that is in. It doesn't matter if it is said out loud. Jesus hears it. It is recorded many times throughout Scripture, even when Jesus was on his way somewhere else, or was in the middle of a meal, or was indeed just resting. Jesus heard the cries for help, and he stopped and helped. Mark tells us that Jesus, Jairus, and the crowd following around them didn't get very far before Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped to help another woman who equally was suffering and in need of healing. The woman had simply touched his cloak. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and been jostled about? There can be lots of pulling and pushing back and forth. Jesus could have very easily let the incident pass very quietly in amongst all the commotion, but he didn't. Primarily, it was essential that it was clear to all the crowd the woman had been healed and was brought back into society again. Secondly, Jesus very deliberately makes it clear that he knows about even the slightest touch, even among a big crowd, and he is not too busy to stop and fully engage with it, even if it appears small or insignificant to the rest of us. That's a very important thing for all of us to do to the best of our human ability, and parents especially with their children. But what about Jairus? He had gone to the effort of finding, approaching, and pleading with Jesus on his knees, despite having a lot professionally to lose. He had got Jesus' attention and had been on their way to Jairus' house. Then Jesus had stopped and chatted to a woman. What do we think Jairus would have felt then? Impatience? Feeling weary? Feeling like grabbing hold of Jesus and telling him they didn't have time for this? They didn't have time to stop? Does it seem sometimes that our needs are put on hold? Does it seem sometimes that God is delaying? Are sometimes even insensitive to what we are facing, even though we are doing all that we humanly can to please him? Then for Jairus, the worst possible news came to him. He was told his daughter was dead. Many of us will know what it feels like to lose someone close to us, someone we love. Everyone deals with that differently. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that in hearing from the members of his household that his daughter was dead, that a piece of Jairus died at that moment too. But Jesus uses just as direct language to Jairus as Jairus had used to Jesus earlier, when Jesus offers him encouragement and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Jesus tells Jairus to persevere with his faith, even when facing the most darkest of moments a parent can ever face. Jairus could have said, "Never mind, Jesus, just come to my daughter's funeral and say a few words." But Jesus told him to keep his faith, A human life isn't over until God says it's over. For the first healing in this passage, the woman in the crowd, it is recorded it took place very much amongst the people. It is very public. Now we see a change. Jesus specifically doesn't let the crowd follow. Only a few of the disciples and Jairus go with him. At Jesus' home, only Jairus, the child's mother, and a few of the disciples are allowed to witness Jesus say, "Talitha cum," meaning, "Little girl, get up." It is not a public moment, but it is a great one. Sometimes our relationship with God is very public and very open. Other times it is very intimate and private. Regardless, all are important to God. One of the things I like most about this passage, aside from the healing, is that it doesn't just end with Jesus performing the healing, but Jesus specifically restores Jairus to parenthood by telling them to give the child something to eat. It is essentially saying, God's will has been done by raising your daughter. Now it's your turn again, Jairus, to continue doing your job as her parent, as her father, and provide her with what she needs. We can see a lot of positives and a very good example of a dad doing his very best for his daughter, and even at the darkest moments, not giving up. That's not easy. I don't think most fathers have it easy. They need strength every day. They need encouragement every day. They need grace every day. In this, God bestows his grace, love, and healing. This Father's Day, we may not be able to spend the day as we would wish due to the restrictions, although the gradual easing is making things more possible. Wherever we are spending it, let us remember the example of Jairus and the love of God, even when we have to be patient, even when we have to put aside many other things we hold dear, even when we think all is lost. Nothing is lost in the Lord. The Lord's love, grace, and mercy knows no limits. Let us rejoice in that. Amen. Our next hymn is from Mission Praise 133, Father, I Place Into Your Hands.
Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. Father, we love to seek your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. For I know that I am one with you.
Our prayer of intercession this morning will be led by Fiona Cumming. Let us pray.
Father God, thank you that as your Holy Spirit empowered the early church at Pentecost, we too could know the power of that same Spirit encouraging and strengthening us to face what's happening today. We pray once more that the leaders of governments across the world would be wise and act with integrity in the present crisis. As we all continue to live with the effects of the coronavirus, may our leaders listen to the experts and make good decisions in the best interests of everyone's health and welfare. We pray that people everywhere would respect and comply with the easing of restrictions that we now positively embrace. We pray too that the racial tensions we've seen in the United States and which are present in the UK too would be recognised by all, so that wrongs are faced, and may, Father, your hand bring justice and peace. Let's pray now for those in our local communities who continue to provide care and support to those in need. Those who deliver our local council services, staff working hard in our supermarkets and food distribution services, those in our emergency services, care staff in the front line of looking after our frail and elderly. And we pray too for all those who work in the NHS. Give wisdom, Father, to those making decisions about schools, colleges and universities so that our young people can flourish and enjoy their education while remaining both well physically and mentally. Challenge each of us, Lord, to play our part in supporting those in need, both close by and further afield. Today, especially, we want to thank you for fathers and those who are and have been father figures in our lives who have supported and inspired us. And we pray for all families facing the challenges of helping and guiding the next generation. As a church family, help us all to grow in our faith and encourage that in others. Help us too to show God's love and concern to those around us. You, Lord, have known what it's like to be in deep, dark places. So let's take a moment of silence now to bring before you those individuals who need your presence in their lives today. Father, we thank you again for all that Ati's ministry has meant to us, and we pray that he will settle quickly into Liberton Northfield Church in Edinburgh. And as we look forward here to the next step in the life of St Andrew's Lambride and Urquhart, we pray you would be guiding the right person to come and minister here. We pray for the Kirk Session meeting this Monday evening. Guide them as to how we should continue to flourish as part of your Christian family in today's circumstances. Whatever church may be like in the months and years ahead, help us all adapt to new ways where we need to. But may we always keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, and know your Spirit is with us. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is from Mission Praise, 532, O, 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 How Good is the Lord. be singing verses 1, 2 and 4 and the choruses.
Forget what he has done for me. He gives me salvation, how good is the Lord. He gives me salvation, how good is the Lord. He gives me salvation, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me. He gives me his blessings, how good is the Lord. He gives me his blessings, how good is the Lord. He gives me his blessings, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me. He gives me his healing, how good is the Lord. He gives me his healing, how good is the Lord. He gives me his healing, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. I never will forget what he has done for me.
My thanks to all who have contributed to the service this morning and all who have helped put it together. Now from wherever we are gathered, worshipping God in Jesus' name, may we go forward in peace. And may the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.